What's up, guys? This is the Locked On Yankees podcast. It's Sean St. Jacques. It's Gary Phillips. We're back with you again this week to break down all things New York Yankees baseball. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees. Follow us personally on Twitter as well at SStJ7 for my handle and at Gary H. Phillips on Twitter as well. Gary, to say the least, we have a lot to talk about this week.
Yeah, we do. And it's an off day as we record. You'll be
doesn't feel like an off day.
You'll be listening to this as on Thursday as the Yankees prepare for a new series against the Blue Jays. And as we record our podcast, Aaron Boone is doing a little thinking of his own right now, probably in his manager's office at Yankee Stadium, because he's weighing whether or not he's got to move Giancarlo Stanton down in the lineup. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, Boone was asked yesterday about whether a change in the order regarding Stanton needs to be made, and this is what he said. I might flirt with splitting different guys up in the lineup and stuff, but not moving him down too far because he's one at-bat away from getting it locked back in, but the last thing you want is him down in the order getting pitched around. What do you think, Sean?
I was telling you this before we came on. This has A-Rod 06 ALDS against the Tigers written all over it. It's just, I don't think it solves the problem. I think it creates another problem, which is that you're not trusting your guy. Now, listen, we know that at some point this has to end, but you know, you look back at certain seasons with the Marlins, and this is, now listen, the 20 strikeouts during a homestand and the 2-5 strikeout games, like those obviously pop out at you and things of that nature. But this is Giancarlo Stanton. This is modern baseball. It's striking out a lot. It's hitting a lot of home runs. Now, one idea that was that I heard on my way over to your awesome crib, by the way, I got to give you a shout out here.
Oh, appreciate it.
Very, very nice digs for the podcast this week. But have to say, you know, you move Didi into that spot, and yes, he's leading the team in RBIs. He's having an amazing season so far. Is that necessarily the role you want him in? Now, he's shown you last year and into this year, cleanup, he's fantastic, and that's the job of a cleanup hitter, is to drive in runs with guys on base. But that's what Stanton is paid $20-something million to do. So to move him down in the lineup, and then the end part of that quote from Boone, I think, says it all. He's going to get pitched around. So why not put him, leave him where he is for now, give him that opportunity. You're going to still have Didi behind you to protect. He's leading the team in RBIs. You have Judge in front of you and Brett Gardner in front of you to give him more opportunities to get RBIs, to get big-time hits. I think it's still going to come. Listen, it's still 15, 16 games into the season. The Yankees going into tonight's game are 8-8. Stanton is still trying to figure it out, but I think changing it, I just feel like you're pulling the trigger a little too early.
See, here's the thing, and Boone kind of alluded to this in his comment. This date last year, April 18th, 2017, Giancarlo Stanton was hitting .226 with 3 home runs and a .715 OPS. He won the National League MVP. You know, this monster designed to crush baseballs in a laboratory ended up being just fine. Imagine that.
By the way, he has 3 home runs right now.
Right. Yeah. So like he's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot going on. I think you can see from his attitude on the field, you know, he's getting visibly upset. He's frustrated. He's not happy. He's got to be pressing. I mean, anybody who's batting .086 at home is going to be pressing. It's going to be in your head. That's just human nature. But he's dealing with a lot right now. He's essentially never played in a big game before or in front of a real crowd before. He's never really had to play in home weather like this either.
No.
And he's always been throughout his career a slow starter in April, and now you add all this pressure, a new team, a new city, a media contingent like he's never seen before, the cold weather. You add all these factors into some struggles that have been repeated throughout his career, and you kind of have this recipe for disaster. But with that said, I don't think it's going to be a long-term issue. He is the reigning NL MVP. He is Giancarlo Stanton. And just to further hone in kind of on the home struggles, you know, and whether he's pressing and trying to please the fans, He's been fine on the road so far this season. He's batting .323. He's got 2 home runs, 7 RBIs, 9 strikeouts. He's got 10 hits and 31 at bats. He's been fine playing outside of Yankee Stadium. So I think this is really just a matter of at some point the struggles get into your own head.
And it reminds me a lot, Gary, I don't know about you, but it reminds me of how Mark Teixeira would start out seasons. And you look at the April slumps and how May and June were kind of be when he started to get it going. And the weather, obviously, is also a huge factor.
Well, whatever it is. You know, some guys are just slow starters.
Exactly.
Like it happens every year to the same guys. It's part of it.
But you look around the league. You look around both leagues. Other sluggers are also off to slow start. I mean, Joey Votto of the Reds. I mean, the weather is a big factor here.
Guys start slow.
It just happens that way. And power hitters, especially, take some time to get going.
Yeah, for his career, Stanton is a .250 hitter in the months of April, and that also includes, you know, the last few days of March when teams play and start the season early. So he's a .250 hitter with 38 home runs in April and March. The next lowest batting average he has for a month is July. That's .262. He's got 44 homers in his career for that month. So, like, you know, this is what he's always done. This is who he is as far as the, you know, low to strikeouts. That's also who he is. That's part of his game. But I don't think it's indicative of a long-term concern.
Also, again, going back to moving him down in the batting order, it just feels too soon to panic. You're at .500 right now. It's not like the Yankees.
And he's doing this. He's putting up these numbers with, you know,
all the strikeouts involved.
Judge in front of him. Yeah. Sanchez and Didi behind him. Well, what's he going to do when you take away that protection? I think you got to continue to show confidence in the reigning NL MVP. And I keep repeating that, but like.
But there's a reason that you are.
But like, right. It's because it's just silly. Because
of what he's capable. Yankee fan.
He's going to be fine.
You want me to make a guarantee right now? A month from now, May 19th, Yankee fans will be smiling ear to ear about what Giancarlo Stanton's doing, I think.
And enough with the booing. Enough. Especially the other night in. It was an 11-0 game at the time.
Yeah, the game was decided.
You think he doesn't know he's struggling? You think he doesn't know he's stinking it up right now?
To be fair, though, that's the Yankee fan. That's the George Steinbrenner mindset.
Right.
Not perfect, if it's not what we're looking for, we're paying you millions of dollars. It's funny. Fans almost make it seem like the money's coming out of their checkbook. However, they think it is because they're paying to go to the game. So in a way, it is. But Giancarlo Stanton is going to turn it around. He's not the only Yankee that's come over with a big contract that has struggled out of the gates.
I get he's the main attraction. Fans want to see him clobber the baseball. Like, you know, he's off to a slow start. It's what he's always done. It's what he's doing.
And in a month or two,
booing isn't going to change that, and he's going to be perfectly fine in the long run.
And in a month or two, when he's fine, people are probably going to forget that this ever happened when the Yankees are right back in the race and Giancarlo has 10, 15, whatever how many home runs he's got.
Yeah, it's going to be fine.
Listen,
I don't know what else to tell him. If you don't believe that, then you obviously haven't paid attention to his career.
Do we really have to talk you off a ledge, Yankee fans, 16 games into a 162-game season? It's like people right now in the NBA that are shocked right now that LeBron's down a game in the playoffs. Give it time. Things are going to work out. There's a reason that Giancarlo Stanton is worth over $20 million and hit almost 60 home runs last year. He goes through these stretches where he strikes out a lot and he has to get back into a group. Aaron Judge did the same thing last year. He wasn't booed. Yes, he's a Yankee homegrown player. He's not paid as much. But it's the same, very similar situation to what Aaron Judge went through the latter part of last season.
It's Yankee fans overreacting. Yankee fans always
But in the postseason, they were cheering their butts off for Judge because he was getting big hits against the Indians and big hits against the Astros. It's going to be fine. Don't see your therapist just yet. He's going to turn it around. All right, Gary, before we preview the Toronto series starting tonight, CC Sabathia is going to be on the bump. We'll talk about that in just a second. We did want to get into some other injury. It's not all Giancarlo Stanton. That's been a problem.
It's not just his fault. Not just his
fault. Can't put all the blame on him.
To popular belief, despite there's the a fact lot other there's many other problems with the team right now.
Despite the fact that we just dedicated a whole segment to the man, there are other problems.
We're going to circle back. Yeah. We're going to point out those other problems. Maybe this is a minor one and it's just a coincidence.
Yeah.
And it's small, so I'm just going to get it out of the way.
Sure.
This team has 17 errors already this season.
And I got to tell you, Gary, not to topple on top of that, but there have been some really bad base running blunders as well.
The base running, errors lead the American League. They're just playing sloppy baseball.
If that counted as an error, a base running mistake, they'd have probably 34 errors. They probably have double what they have right now.
Oh, absolutely.
There's been so many boneheaded mistakes, either trying to stretch a double into a triple, trying to go for two, going home from third when you're clearly blocked off at the plate. Those kind of mistakes, and it's not just been the new guys that have been making the mistakes. I mean, it's been just about everybody.
So many from the pitchers, too. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but
Dellin Betances has made some ridiculous throws.
I know the pitchers have accounted for at least five, if not more, errors already. I mean, Luis Severino's got two with that silly sidearm pickoff.
What was
he doing? He's done that for at least 2 years now, and every time I've seen it unfold, he always throws it away. I don't understand. Somebody needs to tell him to stop doing that.
If you're going to do it, at least look like you're trying to throw the guy out. He just looked like he's just whipping it over there playing catch with whoever was at first, and he just throws it away.
Again, not just Luis Severino's pickoffs.
It's a very small point.
Not only are they losing, they're playing very ugly baseball.
It's bad. I think it's not bad. What was it? 8-8, you're still finding ways to win. But these are things that, I think it's the big reason, Gary, for this, I think is because of the high expectations. They expected this team to be perfect all season long. Guess what? The 98 Yankees got off to a slow start. This is not a perfect sport. You can't go 162-0.
See, when it looks so ugly, though, and there's a clear lack of and there's a clear lack of fundamentals, then I have to wonder, okay, is Boone and his new coaching staff, is that a reflection on them? And obviously, he and everybody that he's hired outside of Larry Rothschild, they obviously have a lot of growing to do into their jobs. And, just like the team's not off to a great start, you don't expect somebody brand new at his job to be perfect at it from the get-go. But the cleanliness of the play is something that needs to be addressed.
And as we learned from third base coach Joe Espada last year, Phil Nevin can't just come in and be perfect every time he's sending somebody from third to home.
You can't talk bad about Phil Nevin, though, after the whole Boston incident. He won a lot of Yankee fans over that night.
He was looking for blood.
He was looking for blood, but then after, just cracking jokes and winning people over.
He's a guy, now we're getting off topic, but he's a guy you want to sit down and have a beer with.
Right, and he doesn't want to just be that Derek Jeter draft
footnote.
He wants his own Yankees legacy.
He wants to send home the game-winning run in a big playoff game.
But back to the
and it's not just the errors, like you were saying.
Back to the other problems with the team. It's also the bullpen has been atrocious, and this is supposed to be one of the best,
not one of the best.
It should be the best bullpen. In baseball. It should be the best in baseball.
I get so frustrated. Tommy Kahnle now is hurt, and we were talking before. You made a great point. He was looking so much better.
Right. So his velocity was down.
Yeah.
All season up until the game last week in Boston, he had made some mechanical adjustments with Larry Rothschild. He was throwing 96 in that game. It's like, okay, Kahnle's fixed. We're good to go. Now he's on the DL with shoulder tendonitis. But the Yankees bullpen as a whole has given up 32 earned runs already
Incredible.
This season. Now, there's only six teams ahead of them. The other one other of which right in front of them is the Dodgers. So, that's supposed to be the second best bullpen in the game.
Well, and Kenley Jansen's been awful.
Right. He just, they said, Dave Roberts said today, he's not right. There's something wrong with
Incredible.
Him.
Incredible.
So,
But think about what you just said. 32 earned runs. That's two a game.
Right.
At the start of the season.
Those
can absolutely cost you games, and they have.
From a bullpen that should be untouchable four out of five games.
You just think about the names that are there. Kahnle obviously is hurt. Chad Green is a stud out of the bullpen. You look at a guy like David Robertson as well. He's struggled at times so far this season as well. And when you see, you know, he's only pitched in garbage time, when they have to bring in Chasen Shreve to try to save, you know, eat up innings or try to save the day, that's a problem. And Dellin Betances has still not recovered from his woes of last year as well. And Chapman's been okay, but there's been times where he can't find the plate, and he's and at times he's reverting to the struggles last year that saw Betances take over the closer role and start to struggle. So, and Gary, you can argue, and I don't think it's too hard to make the argument, that this is a bigger problem than what's going on with Giancarlo Stanton. It's a bigger problem than even the errors and the base running mistakes. The Yankees are not going to win a world championship, let alone win a division, let alone win a world championship, if this bullpen is not as good as it was last year.
See, it's a bigger problem, I agree with you, but also at the same time, it's one that's going to take care of himself. These are very talented pitchers. And by the way, I mentioned 34 earned runs already this season from the bullpen. That's seventh in the majors. Last year, the Yankees bullpen, even with the struggles they had last year, because there were stretches where they were spotty, they gave up 200 earned runs. Only two teams in baseball, the Red Sox and the Indians, gave up fewer last season.
Mm.
So, now, what the Yankees, I guess, lack, you know, what they're lacking compared to those teams in run prevention, they make up for with, you know, walks per nine innings, K per nine innings. They obviously have some firepower in that bullpen. But yeah, like you were saying, you know, it's a problem. This bullpen's already accounted for four losses, and everybody's talking about, oh, you know, the 500 record, the sky is falling. Well, the bullpen did its job. They'd be in a much better position right now.
And I think it doesn't help that the Red Sox are off to such a good start. The Mets lost again, but they're still off to a great start.
Both of those teams being off to good starts, I think that increases the sense of panic among the fan base.
Right. It's not about the players and the organization. It's on the fans.
Why aren't we keeping up with our rivals, Sean?
That was supposed to be us. We're supposed to be 13-3. We're supposed to be 15-1. And here we are. We're at 8-8. And listen, here's the best part if you're a Yankee fan. It's going to change. The Red Sox cannot go 161-1, or even close to that. You could argue the Red Sox they're going to fall off at some point. That's just how it baseball is. The Mets blew a 5-run lead the other night against the Nationals. Things are going to happen to give the Yankees opportunities to catch up. But I understand from a fan's perspective, when your two biggest rivals are off to such good starts, you got to be looking and thinking, my goodness, why aren't we off to a good start?
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Exactly.
And every year, people forget this. You know, this isn't the NFL season where, you know, you go 0-3 to start the year, you're screwed.
Exactly.
Like, it's okay. And just look at what the Yankees did last year. You know, in April, they went 15-8. In May, they went 15-12. And everybody was saying, like, you know, that was an incredible start. It's 30 wins after 2 months. It's good. It's not incredible. They had a losing month in June, 13-15.
Right.
You know, they played just over 500 baseball in July. They played under 500 in August, and then they went 20-8 in September. You know, like teams go on stretches. Yeah, so,
but obviously the reason that this is a different situation is the difference in expectations. Last year's team was expected, all right, if they make the wild card game and they win the wild card game, that's a successful season.
But I'm just using the Yankees here as an example. Yeah. Every single team
100%.
You know, goes through these stretches. I mean, I don't have their exact record up in front of me right now, but the Pittsburgh Pirates are in first place.
Yeah.
In the NL Central.
Yeah, exactly.
I promise you, they are not going to be in first place in the NL Central when the season is over. They're not going to be a wild card. So
and they're also dealing with some injuries themselves. Josh Harrison just got hurt
as well.
So.
I mean, you gotta...
And for the record, the Pirates are 11-6 right now.
You can identify the issues and the problems and talk about them.
Yeah.
And bait them and comment on them. That's what we're doing right now. But you also gotta temper yourself. You gotta pace yourself a little bit.
It's the same. You look at other teams. The Dodgers are 7-9. 7-9. The
Cubs are a 500 team. The Nationals have a losing record.
Think about this. The Giants are 6-10. That includes two McCutcheon walk-off hits. They'd be 4-12 if McCutcheon didn't bail them out twice. It's so early to give up. I mean, the Nationals are 9-9. They're 9-9. The Braves and the Phillies are ahead of the Nationals right now. It's too early to go panic and blow the whole thing up. I'll guarantee you this. There's no way the Blue Jays are going to play 11-5 baseball the rest of the season.
No.
They're not going to play, what, 688 baseball? Get out of here. There's no way they're playing near 600 baseball the rest of the season.
I'm willing to bet, though, that the Marlins are able to play 5-12 baseball the rest of the way.
That's
and,
fair.
And the Reds can can keep up their sub-200 pace. I think they got that in them.
Real quick, before we move on to the last segment, we did want to mention the Jacoby Ellsbury saga.
That's another problem. All the injuries with this team.
Well, let's run it down.
You got...
So he hurt his foot.
This is Ellsbury. Just Ellsbury.
This is the thing.
One player.
One guy, okay? One player. In one backfield in Tampa, Florida. No, just kidding. He hurt his foot while rehabbing a hip injury that he suffered while rehabbing an oblique. The guy can't get on the field.
I'm not a doctor, and I don't play one on the Locked On Yankees podcast.
Nor do we try to play one on the Locked On Yankees podcast.
But I am like 99.9% sure that is not how rehab is supposed to work.
You're not supposed to get hurt while you're rehabbing injuries?
No, especially separate. If it's the original injury, like, okay, that
exactly.
happens. You know, that's
exactly
that,
right.
That's, you know, the risk that you take when you resume baseball activities and working out and all that. So you're not supposed to hurt new things.
I'm also not a doctor. I don't play one on the Locked On Yankees podcast, but this sounds like a man who's 50 years old. I mean, this is a man who's, you know, going out for a jog. He hurt his oblique trying to stretch before the run. He's rehabbing that, tries to run again, hurts his hip. He throws his hip out. He comes back home, rehabs again. Oh, hurt my foot. I'm not going to run anymore.
Like, we're laughing, but yeah. You know, this is a guy that cannot stay healthy, and he wants to be on the field. He just cannot get there.
That's the worst part. If he was healthy, he'd be playing right now.
He'd be getting an opportunity.
Yes. You know? Aaron Hicks was hurt.
Right.
He could have possibly won the job back that he's getting paid all this money to play, and he didn't even get a shot at it. That's the part that probably hurts the most, not only for Jacoby Ellsbury, but for people like us that are rooting for him, because we know, you know this better than I do, great guy, great teammate. When he's healthy, a talented player. You just hate to see it, especially because the Yankees are paying him all the money. Yeah. More importantly, because, you know, people questioned his want to come back. It's clear as day he wants to come. He's rehabbing. Yeah. He just can't stay healthy.
I think the job was always going to be Hicks, but obviously with the injury, he would have had a shot to get in there. I still think, you know, once Hicks came back, it was his to lose regardless of what Ellsbury was doing at the time. But even with the rotations and, you know, the other injuries and just how Aaron Boone's been shaking his lineup up, you know, Ellsbury would be getting some at-bats right now. So it's tough to see for him, and it's a tough situation for him.
All right, Gary, let's wrap it up with the Toronto series. It starts tonight. Yankees are playing the Blue Jays, and CC Sabathia is going to take the ball against Aaron Sanchez. He is back. CeCe's back. And Gary, Yankee fans are hoping that he can kind of get back to the role of last year, which is the loser stopper. Is that the right way to say it? No.
Just a stopper.
The stopper.
He's a stopper. Yeah, he was a stopper last year.
I should not try to do that again. a stopper, you know, ending the losing streaks last season. And, you know, CeCe looked okay early on. Then he obviously went on to the DL. You're hoping that he can kind of get back, and maybe that gets the rotation back into flux, because when you don't have a veteran guy in there, that could certainly derail a rotation.
Right, and they're, you know, again, he's well past the point in his career where he's regularly going 7-8 deep and throwing a shutout. They need him to be what he was last year, and that's keep him in games, get through 5 or 6 strong innings, you know. Hopefully the offense builds up a lead for the bullpen. Hopefully this bullpen doesn't blow it. but, yeah, just to have him back, you know, he's been with the team. He's obviously not going through a minor league rehab stint. But just to have him back out there on the field, you know, the Yankees have to hope that brings sort of a calming presence for them. Or maybe the opposite of a calming presence. You know, Sabathia has been a guy in the past who's, things get tough, he brings a little bit of fire. And sometimes, you know, he kind of makes it up out of thin air and, you know, takes perceived slights. But I think that's all in the spirit of rallying the troops. And the Yankees have to hope he's able to do that one way or another.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, there's some, well, as far as the mental side of the game is concerned, sometimes you need motivation, and if you have to lie to yourself to come up with that, players will do that. And CC Sabathia is a guy that knows how to pitch with a chip on his shoulder. There's no question about that.
The Blue Jays are smart. They won't bunt.
No.
But if they are smart, they will. Because...
Especially if they're up 7-0 in the game and the Yankees are shifting. Don't do that. Don't do that. Stay away. Absolutely don't do that. And it'll be interesting to see how CC comes back. I mean, we were talking before the show. A lot of Blue Jay hitters are actually doing pretty well right now. Kevin Pillar is hitting over .315 right now. Steve Pierce, the former Yankee and seemingly AL East stalwart, he's also hitting .316.
Curtis Granderson batting .300.
Batting .300. And he's playing
every day.
And it's not 3-for-10. He's playing all the time.
Yeah, he's an everyday player right now. I did not expect that to happen in 2018.
Even Yanhervis Solarte is hitting .280.
Solarte is back in the AL East.
And by the way, you know, not to be outdone, Justin Smoakes leading the team in RBIs with 11. Now batting .250, not great, but 11 RBIs, I think the Blue Jays will take that all day.
Yeah, they're not the powerhouse offensively that they've been in the last few years, but they've still got some threats in that lineup.
And there's no question that it'll be interesting to see how CC deals with that first start back. I think if you're a Yankee fan, you're happy that it's at home. You know, he doesn't have to worry about the turf in Toronto. He's complained about that in the past, how he has struggled, including, you could argue, in the opening series where he kind of wasn't great in Toronto. He battled through and kept the Yankees around for most of the game, but it was kind of an issue. It's always been an issue for CC when he's pitched in Toronto. So to get back home, to get comfortable again, to get back on the hill, not only good for CC, but obviously hoping it's going to be good for the Yankees. In a series, you could argue, Gary, that's really important not only to get over the 500 hump, get back to above 500 and try to get back into the race in the AL East to get it early, but you're also hoping that CC can kind of get back into a groove and help the rest of the starters get more comfortable. We saw Tanaka really struggled against the Marlins in the second game of that series a couple nights ago as well. And you're hoping that his presence back gives Severino more confidence, Tanaka can get back on track. You know, that's the thing. That's how important CC is to this team. He really could affect other guys in the rotation in a positive way.
It's funny you say that because, you know, last October, the starters were pitching lights out, and it kind of came out of nowhere. Like as a staff, they hadn't really pitched that good at all at once. And I remember talking to some of the guys in the locker room last year, and they were all saying, you know, good pitching is contagious, like simple as that. So the Yankees got to hope that maybe on just having CC back as an anchor in that rotation kind of brings that presence. But you're saying this is an important series for the Yankees. It is. You know, they want to get over that hump. They got Toronto. They got Minnesota coming up next for four games after that.
Huge series.
And it's important they do well in this homestand because then you fly out to Anaheim. The Angels are leading.
And then I believe it's the Astros after that.
And then it's the Astros, yeah. So
that's tough.
And then they come back home, and you got three against Cleveland, and you got three against Boston. So it's a tough stretch coming up. And
then you go back out west to Oakland. It just doesn't end.
No. Oakland's coming here. Oh,
is that right?
Yep.
Oh, I apologize.
Oakland's coming here. Then Washington.
So
get that little break against the A's. But sort of. There's a lot of difficult series.
It's tough.
Coming up. So as a team, the Yankees have to hope, all right, well, now's the time to get hot.
Exactly.
Because we kind of need that type of momentum for the teams we're about to face.
And some of these teams have not been great out of the stretch, but a lot of them are looking for blood, and they're looking to get back into the races in their respective divisions as well. Yankees are going to have to play a lot better than they have been if they want to continue to stay on pace to get back into the race for the top spot in the AL East.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. That's all we got, Gare, so it's going to be interesting.
We covered a lot.
And we didn't hurt ourselves doing it.
Right.
That's good.
Right.
Your obliques are all right? Everything's hanging
fine.
In?
No plantar fasciitis. I'm good.
Yeah, seriously, though. Jacobs, if you're listening, I don't think you are. But if you if somebody ends up showing this to you, we hope you get healthy. We obviously hope the Yankees can get back on track as well. Again, make sure to follow us on Twitter, at the Lockdown Yankees. On Twitter there. Make sure to check out the podcast wherever you can find podcasts, iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever it is, wherever you find your podcast, Google Play.
I think we do something called Stitcher.
Stitcher?
I have no idea what that is, but
absolutely.
I think we use that we're as there. Well.
Hey, we know what it is. Well, I know what it is. And to you, those fans on Stitcher, we appreciate you.
Yep, and say nice things about us. You know, if there's a place to rate us or rank us or write a comment.
Especially on iTunes. We'd love to hear from you.
Say nice things. If you have bad things to say, well, why are you listening
Keep
in the
them
first
to
place?
Yourself. Hey, if you have bad things to say, just put a 5-star and leave it alone.
All right. Are we at 30 minutes yet? I think
we've been time wasted. Let's get out of here.
I think we're good. Take it easy, guys.
We'll see you next time.